Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And how many of us maybe, as you think about David, many of us wrote this, think about when Aslan was after him, or maybe when he was praying for his son that was conceived with Bathsheba and the son's dying. How many times do people maybe in times of stress think the same thing? Or are we thinking about over Psalms 22 verse 1 in particular, a Psalm of David? It said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And we may recall in particular that Jesus said these very words in the last seven statements of Christ on the cross. This is one of those of, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it has messianic overtones, this passage right here. Or we may think of another Psalm, Psalm 42 verse 9. He said, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why did I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And these are just some of the examples of the Psalms in particular I was thinking of. But we look at other people in the Bible that we understand that they ask that why question also. We read about Job, for instance. And as Job lost everything, really a big part of that book there is dealing with the why question, isn't it? And that is Job wondering, why am I going through this? Why has everything I have been taken away? Why the death of my children? And his friends are basically trying to answer it from an uninspired point of view also of trying to say, here's the reason, but we know they didn't comprehend really the reason why this was happening. Or you may think about other people that may not even ask the question, but I have to imagine that they really were thinking that question. The widow at Nain, that's talked about over in Luke 7 verse 11. Now it happened the day after this that he went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And that is, being a only child, and just imagine putting yourself in the disposition of this woman, as she's taking her only child out to be buried, that would be her security. And not only that, but just the loss of a loved one, we can understand her had to, I would think that she had to have asked the question sometime or other, why my child, why my son in particular, had to be on her lips also. And a lot of times when we ask the why question, there are various reasons we ask it. Maybe we're trying to make sense of it. I know this last week as far as the shooting down there in Texas, there are a lot of people that are asking the question of what sense does this really make? What's the logical reason behind this? And maybe because we ask the why question because we're trying to see as far as who to blame. And who can we pin this on? Who's responsible for this here happening in my life in particular? I imagine there's a lot of parents down there in Texas today, and this last week we've asked that very question many times. And then also the why question to ask as far as what can we do? What can we do to avoid this? What can we do to stop this from happening? Those kind of why questions are asked. And so we want to look at these some. And first of all, when I look at that why question, we think about, and I know I've said this in other lessons, so this part here is really nothing new. In fact, probably nothing I'm saying this morning is new. But when you think about it, we have to acknowledge that sometimes bad things happen because we live in a temporary life. We are eternal creatures living in a temporary world. And because that we realize things happen, our bodies get sick and people die. And not only that, but also there's this thing that Solomon calls time and chance. And that is that when you look over and again, passages I know are probably worn out a number of times in dealing with this subject in Ecclesiastes numbers 11. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, or riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And then he goes ahead and talks about the bird that's caught in a snare. And what he means by that is sometimes we look and we realize that we really don't have an answer except, again, we live in an imperfect world. We get sick and we think about maybe in the case of COVID. Now, Regina, if I've had COVID and some of the others of you have had it, why is it that both of us recovered very well from this, but within a couple of miles of our house down the farm, we had four people die from it? Why is it they died and we didn't? Or maybe some other kind of illness here when I'm dealing with, you know, personally the idea of Parkinson's. Why is it okay I have this and somebody else doesn't have it? And I know there are people that deals with a lot worse things than that. And they ask that question. Or maybe think about the person that has an accident. A person that you're driving on the road and you're just minding your business, and the person next to you or coming the opposite direction happened to look down the wrong time. It happened just wherever across that line a little bit, and you are in an accident, perhaps injured or killed. And people say, why does that happen? And there's many a times we have this type of question, and all we can say is, you know, it happens and there's really nobody to blame because of it. But then there are times we look at this question, we realize that it's because somebody did something intending to do harm. And that's what we have down there in Texas. And that is that when we have these kind of tragedies, and you know, we can list all the shootings and all the bad things of explosions of Oklahoma City, the bombing there, and other kind of cases like that. And we realize those were not accidents. Those were cases of intentional harm perpetrated by man on man. And when we have that to happen, we say, well, you know, a lot of times we say it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. And that's true. But what does that really mean when we say that? Because a lot of the solution people suggest are really not aimed at the heart. They're talking about other things. But when you say a heart problem, we have to realize Jesus says, yes, it's a heart problem. In Matthew 15, verse 18, he said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and to defile men. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. It's not the case where they just do things without any thought at all. That he said, this is the product of inside the person when we see these things happen. And so we have to understand what he means by heart when he said that these things proceed out of the heart of the person. And the Bible, when you use the word heart, talks about the way we think. And that is how we think about things. What we allow our minds to dwell on a lot of times. The apostle Peter, in talking to Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to buy to get the Holy Spirit with money, what did he say to him here in Acts 8, verse 22? Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. There was a thought process that was wrong with this man. He said, you need to change the way you're thinking. You need to repent of how you're thinking about this whole thing. And there are times we hear people, we see people, and we really think, you know how, they need to change the way they think. And also the heart is something what we desire. And that is when you look over in in Romans 10 verse 1, it said, Brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, they may be saved. What is it Paul wanted for his brethren, his Jewish brethren? He wanted them to accept the gospel. He wanted them to be saved, is what he wanted. And there are times we do desire things. We set our minds, our hearts on certain things. And then our also realize it's the way we feel about things. And that is over in Acts 2 verse 22, 26. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad, more my flesh lost rest and hope. And talking about the Psalm of David about his body not seeing corruption, or the Holy One's body not seeing corruption. And he said, made him glad. And we talk about, we read about people being happy and joyous about things. So what this tells me is when you put all three together, it tells me, first of all, we need to think about how we think. We need to watch about our thought process, the way we view things, how we approach things. Well, the Bible says we can view things from a carnal mind or from a spiritual mind. And so we're warned about that, carnal mindedness. We need to think about what we desire. What is it we want? What is it we really desire to do in our life? What's our goals? And then also of how we feel about things. We need to think about that part also. And because as Jesus says, our heart can become hardened. And what that means is beyond feeling, beyond caring about other people. In fact, not even seeing people as people. When you read about, for instance, those who are involved in Nazi Germany, those who are involved in the extermination of millions and millions of Jews, you wonder, how could they do that? How could people be so ruthless and so mean to one another? And basically, a lot of those folks, they didn't even see the Jews as people. They saw them as dogs, as livestock. They didn't see them as human beings. Or maybe the case, for instance, of racism. where you look at somebody, look at somebody else that's different than them, or, and they don't, again, they don't view them as a person. They view them as lesser, somehow lesser than a person than they are. And therefore, they don't think about how the other person feels or the sorrow that may create in other people. And so the Bible said we need to be careful about that. And so as you look at us here, what causes someone to become evil or hard-hearted? Perhaps to keep in line with my thought process, I probably should put there, why does someone become evil-hearted or hard-hearted? And that is a lot of things. That's why we've heard a lot of things. And I've wondered about some of these. And one is violence. And I realize that, you know, we do live in a time when violence has been glorified and been depicted in so many different ways and glamorized that, and not only is it talked about, but we can show it in our video games and our movies in such realistic senses. You go to a movie or you start playing this video game, you see people being blown away, people being shot and killed, and you see the blood and things along that lines, and it kind of loses shock value. And I wonder how many young people, how many murders does a young person see either in movies or in the games they're playing before they reach the age of, let's say, 15? How many have seen multiple murders to the point it becomes unreal to them? And often there's a disconnection between the idea of pretend and reality with some of these folks. Yeah, I grew up playing cops and robbers. I grew up playing cowboys and Indians, our army. We had guns. We had toy guns. We'd point at each other. We would go bang, bang. Sometimes we had the caps inside the guns. We'd actually make a noise. And we didn't have a gun. We used our fingers. And point our finger at somebody, went bang, you're dead. And we, some of us had real guns. Not playing with them. We had them at the house. But we had real guns. But the thing was, we knew the difference between a real gun and a pretend. We knew the difference between actually doing something as a game versus actually doing it. And some of these people have lost that reality. We lived out in Tuckerman, Arkansas, when they had the shootings at West Side High School in Jonesboro. And those young boys, and they were young boys, went and took one of their parents' guns and had the fire alarm tripped off in school and had, when people came out of school, started shooting them. And you know, to them, it was a game. It was pretend. And so some of this is violence. I think we have to understand that's a real problem. And then also we realize some of it is a breakdown in the home. And that is, in the cases of Salvador Ramos and many others, you realize the home, something's happened in the home of America. And that is, because of breakdown in the home, you either have two things. You either have bad parenting or you have no parenting at all. And that is, you have, and so children are being brought up without any instruction, without any teaching. Over in Proverbs 1 verse 8 said, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. And all these cases that there is no instruction, father, there is no law of the mother they can rely upon. Now, I mentioned earlier of having a gun and understanding the difference between a real gun and a toy gun. And the reason I know that is because my dad taught that, and my dad had grounded that in me very, very quickly. One time I had a BB gun, a little BB gun shooting birds that's trying to shoot things out of a tree, and I actually pointed towards somebody. I never did that again. He took that gun from me, and he taught me a lesson as far as you don't ever do that. We have to have the instruction. And so that's some of the problem here with thinking about the fact that the home without the instruction going on, some of it because of peer pressure. Because you get in with the wrong crowd and people think that you are easily manipulated. And Proverbs 1 verse 10 said, my son, if a sinner is enticed, you do not consent. And again, you get in the wrong crowd, people throw an egg, you're going to do bad things. And they don't think it's fun until you get caught. And then you're the ones going to pay the price for it. And they don't be over here laughing, over here making fun of you while you're paying that price. And so some of it is peer pressure. And then some of it may be the idea of true mental illness. I can't discount that totally. And that is what causes a person to think sometimes the way they think and not having irrational thought involved in this here. I sometimes wonder, what world does this make any sense? I realize it's not in my world. And so there may be cases of true mental illness in some of these cases. And then finally, I've just thought about the fact of the victim mentality. Well, everybody is a victim today. Everybody has bad things. Now, keep in mind what I'm saying now. I realize there are bad things that happen to people. I realize, yes, there's sexism. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there is, everybody kind of gets in a category, and becoming a victim has become a virtue. Because you're rich, you are a victim now of being rich. Because you're poor, you're a victim of that. Because you're one sex, you're a victim of another sex, you're a victim also. And so everybody's a victim today. And because everybody's a victim of me, it's like, I can do something, I need to do something about it. And a lot of times I turn to violence to do it. So these are some of the reasons. I'm not saying this is a comprehensive list here. But what are some things we could do? And that's one I'll steal a little bit from George's lesson on Wednesday night, because some of these you've heard Wednesday night, I thought they were real good. And that is, Jordan talked about the little things. Not, you know, there's always this idea, let's do something big about this, but a lot of things that we could do are little things. And one of those is, you can't change the world, but you can change you. And you may not be able to change the person across the street or on the other side of the world, but you can change you if that needs to be done. And some of these things like, be kind and be gentle. You see, in the Roman society, when we read in the Bible about gentleness and kindness, when we read in Galatians 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. When we read that there, the Romans, when they saw somebody being kind and being gentle, what they viewed was a weak person. That meant that you were to be despised in their eyes because they value strength. And what we have to understand is kindness and gentleness, it goes a long way. How many people out there today are not around kind people, do not have a kind thought said about them or active kindness directed towards them? And kindness means strength and control, by the way. It means doing that which is beneficial is really some of the definition of kindness. And so just be kind to people. You can do that. And maybe the idea of say please and thank you. And that maybe seem, you know, I notice when people say that to me. I try to say that whenever I'm at a restaurant, maybe the waiter's serving us or thank you. I try to say thank you whenever they fill up a glass or something like that. And I wonder how many people never say that. And again, just consideration of other people goes a long way. I know when somebody says please and thank you to me, that tends to make me want to do more for them, to care more about them. And then also, make eye contact. And that is, see that person. You see, eye contact says something about it. One is, it says, I care about you. It says, I want to communicate with you. Eye contact, we communicate largely through our eyes about facial expressions. And again, we're looking at society today where there's a lot of eye contact. And part of the reason is that we have our faces down in our phones and our books and things along that lines, and we're just not seeing people. I tend to think when Jesus talked about to the Samaritan woman by the well, that he's looking at her, that he's actually making eye contact with her. And so make eye contact, people. But not only that, but also empathize with others. And that is, be able to walk a mile in their shoes, be able to put yourself in their position. And when I say it again, there's a lot of things people go through I have no idea. I don't know what they're bringing. I don't know what they're suffering. But when we do, we understand that a lot of times that's the reason the way they are. And Jesus, when he talked about those who were in need of a physician in Mark 2 verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not call them to call the righteous, but sinners for repentance. And here's a distinction between the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders and Jesus. Now, Jesus is not condoning their sins. Jesus is not saying it's okay for them to be committing their sins. What Jesus says here, that he came to lift them up out of their sin. He came to get them away from their sins. But he did empathize with them as far as he loved their souls and he wanted them to be saved. But then also, get to know one another. And that is simply spend time getting to know one another. You know, again, that sounds so simple. But we live in a day and age where more and more barriers are being put up, some because of COVID, some because just our society's changed so much. But there's a lot of people that we don't talk to, that we used to, that earlier generations would, our neighbors. You know, growing up, my dad knew not just our neighbor, he knew the guy like three or four houses down the street from us. And today, a lot of times, we don't know who our neighbors are. We don't talk to them. And so just get to know your neighbors. Get to know the people around you. The shooter in Texas had very little contact with people. He was isolated. And so those are some things that Jordan put on there. I think also we have on the list is the idea of reading the Bible. You want to read the scriptures. Make a point of reading the Bible on a regular basis, on a daily basis. But I want to add that a few more things. And some of these things, again, not very hard, but focus on the good things. Focus on good things. Over in Philippians 4, verses 8 through verse 9, he said, finally, brethren, where things are true, where things are noble, where things are just, where things are pure, where things are lovely, where things are of good report, and there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. Spend time thinking about these things. That's what that word meditate means. The things which you learned and received or heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so here's the idea that it is, you need to think about these things are again true and noble and just and pure and lovely and very important. Those are things you need to think about. Focusing. And so as you look at that, you realize that it means also the idea of how we think, but also, and here's like some kind of more specific things. And I stole this from somebody on Facebook the last week or two, but basically the phrase is, you know, be more like Jesus better than trying to be a better version of yourself. I'm better when I try to be more like Jesus than someone trying to be a better version of me, in other words. And that he's our example. He's the one we need to be emulating in our life. Not just trying to make myself better, but having the right pattern, having the right standard. And 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for this you are called because God, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And it goes and talks about those who reviled and not rebuke and return, or not reviled and return. That he is the example we need to be following. And so here's some things to look at that there. We can add to this list here as far as what that means. So think on these things, good things. And one is, be thankful what you have, count your blessings. I dare say, in all these cases of the shootings and the bombings, that the people somehow felt as if they had missed out on all their blessings. They did not see any blessings in their lives. And really, you know, a lot of people today, when they look around, they don't see how they're blessed. But let's just keep in mind, if we start complaining, and I'm guilty as this, anybody else, I see the price of things in the stores, and I see the gas pump whenever time I fill up my tank of gasoline, and I think about how bad things are in our society. You know what? We live in a country, we have people that are willing to put their children on trains for thousands of miles to try to get over here. We live in a country where people are willing to try to go across the river and risk drowning in order to get here. And they're doing that not because we're such an oppressive society, because we're such a poor place to live. They're trying to get here because this is the land of plenty. This is the land of blessings. And we just have to keep that in mind sometimes, that we live in an extraordinary place, that if we have all of these blessings we ought to take for granted. Spend some time just being thankful what you have. The second thing is, don't be envious of others. Actually, this is part of the same thing. Don't be envious of others. There are those who look at somebody having something, a bigger house, a nicer car, better clothes, whatever it is, and they become envious. Let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever known an envious person who was happy? You know, this kind of goes contrary to logic, doesn't it? Envy is not going to make you happy. It's not going to improve you one bit at all. It's just going to make you bitter. And so don't be envious of others. And as you look at this, you also mention God when you're blessed. I happened to notice, it kind of dawned me this last week with the school shooting, how many times God was mentioned as far as prayers to God for the families of those who lost loved ones, and prayers for our nation needs healing. And maybe God's mentioned also on the other side of why did God allow this to happen. I thought about how many times we hear God mentioned when there's not a tragedy. How many times we hear God mentioned when everything's going great. He needs to be thanked because we have blessings. Our God is a God of blessings. And so we need to think about him. So be thankful what you have. James 1 verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Every good thing we have, we can attribute to God. Then also, as parents, be involved with your children. Again, the commonality between all these school shootings, the Colorado, the Columbine school shootings there, where two young men go into school and kill all these folks here. Those young men were literally making bombs in their house of one of the parents. And the parents had no idea. Now I realize as parents that sometimes you're not going to know everything your children are doing. But there's times you have to wonder, where were the parents at all? Make it a point to know your children. Make it a point to talk to them. Make it a point to be a part of their lives on a daily basis. Set boundaries for them. Let them know there are times, there are things they can do, cannot do. But be involved. And not only that, but also help someone when they need help. Teach your children to help other people also. Galatians 6 verse 10, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. James 1 verse 27, pure and undefiled religion for God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their need and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Both those are the idea. You help people when they need help. And so go out of your way to help somebody else. And the reason I say teach your children that, because that's how it's going to be passed down to the next generation. And finally, the final thing, simply the idea of pray for your enemies. And this may be the hardest of all of them. Because Jesus over in Matthew 5, 4-4 said, by saying you love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And that is hard. I will acknowledge that there was a time in my life where there were certain people that I considered my enemies and I could not stand them. I mean, you try to be a fat white boy in a inner city school, and you're going to be picked on. There's going to be certain ones that hate you for various reasons. However, Jesus says what you do is you pray for them. It may change their attitude, but it will change yours. And so you need to pray for those who spitefully use you. So these are some of the things that he mentions to us in our Bible that we can look at as far as what to do. And I hope maybe, again, just a way of kind of understanding it. And that last thing I mentioned as far as trying to make sense of it, but also what we can do. And these are not big things. These do not require some massive program. And may not change very many other people, but it'll change you. And may even have effect on other people. The song we have sung to start off with this morning, 166. I asked Mac to lead that song because it asks that why question right off, doesn't it? And that is why. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? And the answer to all of this here, why leave heaven? Why did he come down here? Why did he suffer for us? Why did he die for us? He said, because he loved me so. And that's why we have to keep in mind that God's love for us is so immense that he was willing to sacrifice for us, to die that kind of death for us. He loves us. And Jesus said the way we love him is by keeping his commandments, by doing what he said to do. And so this morning we have a song selected to encourage us to obey the gospel. Perhaps you have not done that, and I've been baptized for remission of sins. But also, if you realize your heart is not right or that you have not done what's right inside of God, you can pray to him privately and ask him for forgiveness. But also, if you want prayers on your behalf, we're here to pray for one another. Why don't you let us do that as we stand as we sing.